One thing Pastor Grace taught us in preaching class, every message is not going to be your best. So you have to face those facts. And I've been, sometimes when you choose to preach through a book like this or through the entire Bible, you have to take it as it comes. You have to take what's easy to preach and what's not easy to preach. And I'm saying this, I'm trying to help the preachers. I don't want to pass up an opportunity for a teaching moment here. But and if you think this is tough, Brother Jay and I will be preaching at the Texas Prison Revival again in the 4th of July weekend. And, you know, as most of you know, Joshua was paroled. And boy, there's some men in there that love Jesus, a lot of them. And they looked at us in the midst of this meeting we're having over January, right, the new year. And this guy, LB, who's just a great man, loves God. He said, "Preacher, if Joshua gets out, will you come back and preach?" Well, what are we going to say? And that was a... So anyways, so, you know, a big thing now, and it sort of stems from James Knox's conferences, they assign you what to preach. And we have both four times, right? Brother Jay and I both have to preach four times out of the book of Esther and assign chapters and all that. So that's easing my pain a little bit right now, knowing that that pain is coming versus the pain that I went through today. Because sometimes it's sweet. It just comes out at you. And let me just tell you, preachers, what you do. You just lay the text out and you read a verse and you answer the question, what about it? Giving the sense. That's what our goal is. Father, thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, these are the times that I know your strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, you could meet people where they're at. Lord, I've been in services where I've heard preachers and say, what in the world was that? And the altar was packed. And I've been in sermons where I've been moved to tears and nobody said nothing. And so, Lord, we just pray you do your will, because we're just here. You alone are our heart's desire. We just want to worship you. Just magnify your word. Launch it into our hearts tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherefore, chapter 12, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, notice that word, the cross, despising, notice that word, the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endure, there it is again, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And this is where we'll go tonight. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and have forgotten, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise. Remember, he despised the shame. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure, see, that's what he did. He endured chastening. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Most of them in America in 2018. But, and here's why. But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That means you're not a son of the Father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So the pretext to this verse we're going to get at is looking unto Jesus. We're considering Jesus. And he says in verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary. So when it gets tough, the admonition is, think about him. Think about him. Now the Bible is clear, we are not to compare ourselves among ourselves. But the Bible's also clear in this text, when it comes to going through stuff, we are to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. And then we'll realize it could be worse. It could be worse. When you're going through it, it's a great relief to think, man, this is bad, but it's not that bad. That's what I like about our God. He doesn't ask you to go through stuff that he didn't go through first. Ye've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's what he set us up for in this verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now go to Luke 22. Luke 22. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and you've not given your life. It's rough. There's some bad spots. You might be taking a little whooping and a spanking from the Lord. You might be being rebuked. You might be being corrected by God or man. But for the most part, you've not resisted. You've not fought sin so hard that you're striving against. In Luke 22 and verse 40. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And he, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood. Before a whip ever cracked across his back to draw blood, before the nails were driven into his hands and feet, and that crown of thorns was busted down on his head, and a sword was plunged into his side, he was resisting unto blood, striving against sin. I know it's bad, brethren, but hallelujah, tonight it's not that bad. He's in all points tempted like we are. And we got a great debate among theologians concerning the peccability or impeccability of Jesus Christ. Could he have sinned? And those that say he could have sinned say it would just be lesser if he didn't really know what we were going through, if he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, if he couldn't possibly sin, what kind of victory did he get? To those that believe he couldn't have sinned would say that the fact that he even could have sinned would make him something lower, etc., etc., etc. You said, and these are people that are close to me, and we go around about this. We got Bible Institute teachers here that teach different ways. I've come to this conclusion. I think if he couldn't have sinned, I don't think he knew it. I don't think he knew it. Chew on that for a while. I know this. He resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It's bad tonight. It might be rough tonight, but it's not that bad. You know, it's not easy to do right. And it's not easy not to do wrong. Why do the righteous suffer? I try to do right, and this happens. I try not to do wrong, and that happens. I pour my life into my kids, and look what I get. I stayed faithful, I paid the price, and I'm in a big mess. But not a bloody mess. He had a big mess, and thank God it was a bloody mess. You know, the fact is, in 2 Corinthians talks about this, why we go through things, that we may be comforted those that need comforting. But it's hard to comfort someone that doesn't know what you... It's hard to comfort someone that you've not been what they're going through. Someone going through the death of a loved one, a spouse, someone losing their baby, you know. I can say, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't say I know how you feel. Now, it's in a lot of ways the same way difficult, even if you do know what they're going through. Because at the time, you're not going through it. But there is one in heaven who knows my deepest care. He knows what we're going through. You know, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet with sin. The lust of the flesh. He wasn't tempted in every single sin, but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He was tempted directly of the devil. He knows what we're going through. The Father knows what it's like to lose a child. And that's what I'll say. I mean, you know, I'm going into this funeral Saturday night. Just got the word today, and these are our people, if you know what I mean, my nationality. And, you know, they asked her, is there someone that can come and say something? And I know right off the bat what I'm going to say. We would bring our brother back here if we could today. Imagine the love of God that he could have not allowed him to die, yet he let him die. Resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I might have it bad. The storm clouds might be blowing. The ship may be wrecking. But he did right too. And he shed his blood. I haven't. Have some along the way? Yes. Have the martyrs? Yes. I mean, I saw Steve Ackley one night. Woo! There's a guy. He'll tear you up. We were preaching one night on the street, and a drunk came out. This wasn't a small drunk. And he came right up and got in Steve's face. And he headbutted him right in the face. Boom! I'm talking about the guy who did it to Steve. And then he did it again. And I thought he was going to snap and tear his head off and throw it in the garbage pail. That's about as close as I've ever seen anyone resisting unto blood, striving against sin. Some street preachers I've seen taking a beating, I was glad. They deserved it, you know. Which is another thing. Well, you know, I took some spit for the Lord, but maybe I deserved it with my attitude I was preaching in. He didn't deserve it. I may be in a mess, but his was a bloody mess. And you know what? I don't compare myself with your mess. I compare myself with his mess. And then I say, it ain't so bad. Hallelujah, we serve a great God tonight. And that keeps me going another mile, one step in front of the other. Verse 5 of Hebrews 12. As they say down south, are we okay tonight? Amen, amen. And ye have forgotten, that's not good, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Man, I'm glad we're his children. My son, despise, notice that word, not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, notice that word, when thou art rebuked of him. You've heard this before from this pulpit. Life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how we react. This news, it's incredible. All the news is now is so-and-so said something. They said something that degraded him, and they didn't apologize. Here's a world that aborts babies, and they're vile, and they're evil, and they hate God, and they're worried about somebody saying something about someone. You know, that's usually what most of our issues are. Most of things in the past are what people said. Now, so-and-so said this, and they said that. They said this. Well, you said... Our reaction to that is who we really are. Our reaction to chastening of God or man. Our reaction when we deserve it, which we mostly do, and if we don't, it's for the last 10 things that we got away with. When my father found out I didn't do what he chased me for, well, that's for what you did and I didn't catch you. That's for what you do later. Amen. I'm still winning. You get that? You guys are too. When I wrote my thesis, I surveyed the alumni from the Christian school. And you parents need to get this, especially you young parents. Did you do... Were you doing worse than your parents thought, about the same as your parents thought, or better than your parents thought? The fact is, most of us were getting away with stuff that our parents never knew nothing about. So all I'm saying is, and so if your dad gets or mom gets one wrong once in a while, well, what about the 50 that he missed you on? So you had it coming, amen? Despise not chastening, nor faint in rebuke. And so our reactions are two. Despising. This charismatic, God just wants everything to go great with you, is abominable because it's unbiblical, number one. And number two, it brings false expectations and people fall out because they think, these things shouldn't be happening to me. What Bible are you reading and what Savior are you serving? First of all, like I just said, most of our wounds are self-inflicted. We deserve what we get it, what we have coming. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing? You take some of these kids. I like to preach personal. Is that okay? I get your attention that way. They do this boy-girl thing with... I didn't know you were coming, brother. There's others in your midst. With what we believe the leadership believes is biblical. And hopefully you believe it for yourself. And you know what, though? The sad thing is, a lot of them do it right. And at best, this way, I believe is this way, at best, yields no fruit. At worst, yields pain. And unfortunately, your reaction to the no fruit or to the potential pain determines who you are and if you're going to get bitter or better. Because you know who ends up getting the blame indirectly? God does. You going to whip me, are you, God? I'll show you. I'll go in the Navy. I'll start drinking. I tithed and gave to missions, and where did it get me? Forget it. You ain't getting. That's despising the chastening of the Lord. No more for you, God. I do it the world's way. Don't do it the world's way. Listen, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward, and man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, and it's rough being in Christ, but I'm telling you, and a whole lot of people echo amen with what I'm saying, it's rougher outside of Christ. And you get to despising the Lord instead of considering the Lord. And who He was, you know where we dwell that are saved? In Him. Do you know what he was? A man despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Well, you could have stopped this, God. That will make you bitter. How about this view? You could have stopped that, God. Thank you, Lord. Get me out of my stupor. And then you get to despising. Then there's fainting. See what it says? Fainting when thou art rebuked of him. That's rough too. It does just as much damage. See, you get nullified. You get mobilized. You get sidelined. And later on we're going to see where it's called out of the way. Our kids get this. Listen, Pastor Grace used to call it negative spiritual inertia. If you are standing still, you are going backwards because the world is ever pressing backwards. And let me tell you, the world is ever pressing backwards faster and more furious than ever. And then you got us trying to stem the tide. Parenting teenagers that begin to get a mind of their own is delicate at best, volatile at worst. What are we talking about? I'm talking about them fainting at rebuke. See, they're not adults, but they're really not children. So they need rebuke. That could be a gentle rebuke. That could be. The trouble is, they do the same thing the next day. And so you walk as a parent. Now, you kids aren't believing this. You just think we rail off anytime we want. As my father says, you don't know how much I say that I don't say I want to say. And so you give them a rebuke. And you know what they say? If they're not seeing God's hand in the thing and using these authorities and all that, what's the use? I can never please you. Yeah, you can. Just do what I said the last 10 days in a row. It's just too much of a fight. Faint. When they're rebuked. It happens in church work. It happens in parent work. It happens in, you know, we got this. Listen, only by pride cometh contention. Rebuke a wise man and he'll be yet wiser. Rebuke a fool. And I don't know what the rest of the verse said, but it's not good. Don't tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me I'm wrong. Rebuke a wise man. He'll be yet wiser. Tell me, man, in the old days when we went to you kids or some of you, you living in the day, you need to look at your older brothers and sisters. Man, we talked about blind spots back then. Hey, preacher, anything going on with me that you see that's not good? And I'd always say, I ain't doing all right, brother, because I'm waiting, because he's wanting me to reciprocate after that. Verse 6. Don't faint. Don't despise it.
Amen. Amen.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. All right, Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 13. Why? It's hard to believe. The world threw the Bible out. That's why they're all messed up here. I wanted you to get this verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary, the other one used faint, of his correction. The other one used rebuke. Now that's the Holy Spirit giving you the whole counsel of God. The reason we are rebuked, the reason we are chastened is so we can be corrected. And again, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. correcteth, chasteneth, right? Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Now, Proverbs 13. Why? Because he loves us.
Amen.
I wonder if there's a kid on the planet that ever thanked their parents for doing what we're talking about tonight. Now, maybe later on Mother's Day and Father's Day, I look back now, but I wonder if anyone ever just got up from that timeout session and said, thank you. And I wonder if any of us ever said it to the Lord. 13 and 24. This is God speaking. I didn't write it. Don't shoot the messenger. This is just the wisest man that ever lived. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And I cannot read that passage without thinking back 31 years ago. Coming to Brother Jay in his little cubicle there and say, why does it say you got to chasten him at bedtime? And he being the humble discipler, that's not bedtime, it's be times. Be time. It be time. It be time to get it. That's how you remember that now. Why is he doing this? Why am I going? Because he loves us. He is more concerned with us being more like him than he is our comfort. He wants to test our usability. He wants to bring us to the next level. He wants to humble us. He wants us to prove his promises. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants maybe to do what it takes for us to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Right. Amen.
Then he can use us. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Before honor cometh humility. Don't shake your fist. Don't rise up. Get down when he's giving it to you. Hebrews, and scourgeth. That's what Jesus took. Remember, he's saying, you not, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Listen, everybody goes through stuff. That ought to be part of our personal testimonies. They may not believe in our God. They may not believe in creation. They may not believe in our Savior. They may not believe in the Bible. But they look and they say, man, those people can go through stuff. We go through divorces too. We lose kids too. We have suicides too. And I'm looking at what's left. And boy, they can go through it. They can go through dying. Our funerals ought to be different than their funerals. Now listen, chastening, how does it come? Isn't it scary? He's the wonder why I don't want to preach this. I think it comes in sort of layers. It can come like when you're rebuked in a sermon, it comes in conviction. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Chastening comes in the form of guilty feelings, unpleasant circumstances, loss of peace, relationship fractures, or any number of negative consequences for choosing sin. Sometimes the chastening of the Lord, 1 Corinthians says, can be illness or death. Sin unto death. I used to think that's a sin you never got over. No, that's a sin that God kills you for. Most of the time I find he won't give you the satisfaction of killing for you. He'll just let you. Why should he take you to heaven? 7:7. There's that endure. Remember, he endured the cross, despising the shame. If ye endure chastening, do you believe you need to endure to the end? Yes. Of what? Chastening. God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The Father. He dealeth with you as with sons. Listen, chastening is more than justice. Believe it or not, Pastor B gives me this book I have up on my desk. And I don't know if it's, I think it's the New York State Penal Code. You guys going to deal with stuff like that? Yeah, sometimes. And you know what that thing says? It basically says, this is the crime. This is the time. I'm glad God doesn't do us that way. Could you imagine your parents doing that? Okay, if you take a cookie out of the cookie jar, some of you probably do. That's one slot. Taking two cookies. What about taking a cookie the day after you took a cookie the day before? You know, no, man. Our God deals with us as with sons. Proverbs 23:13. We'll just flip over there quick. You know, children, here, and you can't separate. He, like Pastor talked about the bees tonight, he gives us something we can understand. Except this generation can't understand it. You're just going to make them frustrated. No, you're not. You're going to secure them. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod. Now that needs some explanation, not apology, explanation. The word spank is not in the Bible. But it's in the 1828 dictionary under beat. We're not talking about a 2x4 here. And taking this verse that the blueness of a womb cleanses away evil, the rod is for the back of fools. That's for big boys. It's not your aim. And let that be known that that's what this church stands for. A little swat like our dads gave us and gave most of the people that are making the decisions now. And brethren, if we got to shut up so much that we can't preach from the Bible, let's just go back to Egypt. Amen? Listen. Withhold not correction, but for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. That's Hebrews. You don't know what I'm going through. You ain't dead, are you? Thou shalt beat him with the rod. That's hard words in our day, isn't it, man? Even us, we're on the right end of things. Ooh, isn't that some type of abuse? Why a rod? I heard someone say simply this, and I believed it because I went through it. This is to love. This is to caress. This is to pat on the back. This has too much mass. You saying all this stuff? I didn't plan on saying it. A little bit more than this reinforces the conscience when necessary. Thou beat him with the rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Why? Because they learn consequence for disobedience. The Father has a desired end. Our fathers, and it's going to say here, let's read it. Verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as the sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers. I mean, it's just common sense from the beginning of time till now and in most of the world except for here. Kids get disciplined. Wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not son. I didn't say it. God put it in there. If you're living like the devil and you got it made in the shade and you never get corrected, you might better go back to Calvary. No correction? I didn't plan on saying this, but I'll put this in the modern with our own children. Is that your kid, lady? Kicking and biting and scratching and spitting and... Do you love that kid? That kid's going to be a school shooter. Listen, if you finally got your hand caught in a cookie jar and you're getting what you deserve, here's something that'll take the edge of the pain away. At least I know he's my father and he loves me. Hard to say when you're in it, thank you, Lord, I deserve it. Now, how are you going to deal with your kid? Versus stiffening that upper lip. You're not going to get away with this much more. Because as soon as I turn 16, 18, 21, I'm out of here. Verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. We didn't like it. Kids, can I remind you of something? Mom and dad got it too. If they grew up in our generation. Right, sis? You think you got it bad, Sammy? You know who your grandfather is over there? Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father and spirits of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they verily for a few days. Look, we're talking about... He's drawing this parallel. And you know what? The earthly parallel, like I said Sunday, you've got about 11, 12 years. And I'm just going to give my opinion here. I'm not going to put a developed woman across my knee. Do what you want. Some of these boys, I don't know about all that. I'm just saying, he's saying it's for a few years. And then it's either going to take or it's not going to take. And you know what I just thought of here? And you know what the chastening is down here? It's just a few days. Just a few days. Rod Phillips used to say, this big thing we call life that we put so much stock in it, if you went to one of these beaches and looked up 5-10 miles and you took one grain of sand, that's your life in light of eternity. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And then we'll realize what He went through. And then we'll say, man, it wasn't so bad. I've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And then it says there in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chase us after their own pleasure. You're getting on my nerves. Stop it. You broke the window. And it wouldn't be so bad if you didn't break it yesterday and I told you not to throw that ball by the window. Now, as they say down south, I'm going to wear you out. Because I'm going to feel better after. That's the wrong spirit. Now, I'm not one of these saying, okay, we got to pray now. And we got to have a devotion. And this is going to hurt me. Just get it over with. But He, for our profit. He's never aggravated. There's always a means, an end to His means. He's always got our best interest and His best interest in mind when He brings us through. Look at, and that takes faith. Young people, it takes faith. It takes faith. Don't despise it. Don't faint and quit over it. And I'm not just talking about, you know, timeouts. I'm talking about just being corrected. You know, young person, you really, I talked to you about this before. Oh, what's the use? Don't do that. See it as for your profit. That's the right attitude. Why? Why? That we might be partakers of His holiness. I believe it contributes, but I didn't see anything in this text about what we call standards. entertainment, music, anything. His holiness, that I might be a partaker of His holiness. What are we talking about here? He took a beating. He took a beating. Make me more like You, Lord! You know what we think when we pray that? Oh, I want to be like the lowly Galilean, like I saw in the religious movie where he had the long robe and he was handing out free food and he was so compassionate and loving and forgiving and all that. Make me more like You, Lord! Really? Are you sure you want to go to that level? I'm not saying not to. You get to that point, that's when it comes to being dead to sin and alive unto God. And I'll say like Paul, I have not apprehended, but that's when you become invincible. I've never been able to say it. I can't sing it with a clear conscience, Sherry, without giving a clause. Whatever it takes, I'll say, help me, Lord, for my will to break. Really? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking.
I don't like this. I want to get as far from His chastening hand as I can get.
He for our profit. When He was up on there, taking that beating, taking that whipping, His visage was marred more than any man. What good can come of this? Our profit. Woo. First Peter chapter 4.
Good preaching.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. First Peter 4. Here, one good thing about it. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, verse 1, sorry, 1 Peter 4:1, arm yourselves likewise, what? To suffer in the flesh with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What's good with chastisement? You sin less. I can remember, I've probably told this before, but I wasn't a real good kid in grammar school. Or high school or college, but you know, they would announce report cards are coming out Friday. Man, I was a good Joey. Why? Because I was seeing bringing that report card home and who I handed it to and what he was going to do when he saw it. Joey needs to keep his eyes on his own paper. Joey is easily distracted. And in my little short-lived mind, for 1 week, I ceased from sin. Because I saw the suffering coming. A little bit before I got saved. I'm hoping it was before I got saved. I know I did the deed before I got saved, but I'm not sure. Anyways, when I worked at Eastman Kodak, there was tens of thousands of employees. I got hired at the peak, and I had to literally park 3/4 of a mile. Of course, that's when I memorized all my scripture when I was newly saved. After this happened, and they used to have parking passes. Well, the new guys, you had to park in the back 40. I'm talking about far. I'm talking about in pouring rain and snow. You're way, way out. Well, these passes that you put in the machine that make the thing go up had these little magnets in a certain pattern, which, depending on which parking lot you were in, so what they would do is they'd go in the machine shop and they'd take the metal dust and they'd sprinkle it on the card and they'd tap it off and there'd be 6 circles. And if you're out here, maybe it was 2 this way and 4 this way. But if you were in the close lot, it was 3 this way and 3 this way. So they take this little punch and put it on the thing, and take the 4 and 3 into the 3 and 3. And then you can park in the close lot. Beautiful. I had a doctor's appointment one day. I'm hoping I wasn't still saved. And God is my witness, I can't remember. I had a doctor's or a dentist appointment. I'm coming back in the lot. I went in the back gate, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's like a, you know, you got the gates, and then there's like this hedgerow of bushes and a fence there. And I, not even thinking, I've been doing it so long now, I'm not even, and I come, and here's the corner of the hedgerow, and out walks the green shirt. At Kodak, that means the police. Hi. He said, can I see your parking pass? You know that feeling? Doctor's office feeling? Car repair dealer feeling? And he looks at him and he says, did you just use this to get in the gate? I want to say, no. I gave you my fake one. I used it. Yeah. Come with me. Ooh. I didn't want to go near that parking lot ever again. You know why? He that has suffered in the flesh is ceased from sin. And when you get caught, it's just not as satisfying as it seemed to be when you weren't getting caught. What are you saying? Thank God I'm not on that mountaintop. I sin too much on the mountaintop. Thank you that I'm going through it, Lord. No chastening, verse 11, for the present seemeth to be joyous. None of it. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable, we're in Proverbs 12:11, fruit of righteousness. Fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, okay, so that doesn't that come by standards and reading the Bible and praying? Yeah, and sometimes it comes from taking a licking. Fruit? I want to bear some fruit in my life, Lord. That piece of fruit went in the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. Fruit doesn't come forth till it dies.
Amen.
Can I say, take what you got coming? Don't despise the Lord. Don't despise your parents. Don't despise your pastor. Are there going to be misunderstandings? Is there going to be times when you're going to call something that was the wrong call? Yeah, that's going to happen. But for the most part, we deserve what we get. Don't despise. Don't faint. Verse 12, I like this. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. The hands which hang down from fainting, and the feeble knees from weariness. Watch. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Listen, the Christian highway is scattered with lame saints. That something came in their life and they didn't have enough faith to see God who could have stopped it at the end of the rod. They didn't have enough faith to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's somebody that God can use. What is the purpose in this? You're going through it anyway. You're going to despise and get worse. You're going to quit. You think you're going to end up better? God will use you. You're going through it. My frustration is when something comes. If I got in an accident tonight, am I doing something wrong, Lord? Is this just because some deer ran out in front of me? Does time and chance happen to us all? Am I in trouble with you? Is something right? And here's the beauty of that. I don't always know what the answer is, but I know in that process I'm getting closer to Him. Because I'm walking with Him and talking with Him, and what is this? Is this me? And that's where He wants us. Let's stand. Keeping our accounts short. Don't let it knock you out. But rather, let it rather be healed. See, He brings the salve after the wound. He doesn't just chasten us and rebuke us. He gives healing. Healing. Don't despise. Be healed. Don't faint. Be healed. Pastor, what number? Mm-hmm.
876.
The altar's open tonight. Lord, I'm a little anxious with my parents. I don't like what's going on here. Keep the account short. Lord, just take a step toward God. I'm tired of being rebuked. I'm not sure if I agree with everything around here. And I'm starting. Don't do that. Stay right. Disagree, but stay right. Don't despise. Don't faint. That's what Satan wants.
All right, let's turn to 876. Sing together, shall we?